I will honor God. Simple enough? We're going to think about that one phrase for a few weeks as we come together on Sunday nights. And tonight we're going to think about, from God's perspective, them that honor me. Those of us who would honor God. Our scripture is found in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. And it says, "Therefore, the Lord God of Israel declares, I promise that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Shall not be honored very much. Shall be lightly esteemed. We're going to begin as we look at some real life stories about a very dark time in the nation of Israel. The book of Judges, which is just before Samuel, ends with these words in Judges 21, the last half of verse 25. It says, "Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Stir up anything in you? Bring to mind a more recent day, maybe? Today. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Had the chance the other evening to be in the clubhouse over there where we live and just kind of chatting with some folks and fellowshipping with some people. And we got on a subject of spiritual significance and we were talking about this and that and the other. And one lady says to me, da 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 da. And I says, well, yes, the Bible does say that. But it also says this. And she says, well, I skip over that page. So help me, those were her words. I skip over that page. I said, but you can't pick and choose the parts of the Bible that you like. And she put both hands on her hips and said, I can. And that's the world in which we live, guys. That's the world which is invading the church and invading it very strongly. And it all translates as what was written in Judges thousands of years ago. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Translate that to this day and age. If it feels good, do it. It must be right if it feels good. If it feels this good, it must really be right. Really? During this time, there was a childless wife who was lamenting the fact that she had no children. And she spent time in the temple in earnest prayer. And this lady Hannah would pray and pray and pray in the tabernacle because she had no child. And the priest heard her praying, and after they talked, he told her that her prayer for a child would be answered. You know, that's pretty good. That's a word from God. God heard your prayer and he's going to answer that prayer. Well, She had a baby. Hannah absolutely did. God heard her prayer. He answered her prayer the way that she wanted it answered. And so, realizing that, thinking about this verse in Judges, thinking about honoring God and not honoring God, I want to just look at a few things. First off, I want to say to you that honoring God involves presenting our best to the Lord. It doesn't involve giving the leftovers to God. That's not what it's about. It's not about taking what we have and using it and using it and using it and abusing it and using it, and then when we're done using it, see, don't you think the church can find a need for this? I'm going to give this to God. I put that in the church. Yeah. It was worn out before you did. 1 Samuel chapter 2, or chapter 1, verses 24 to 28 says this about Hannah. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli, and she said, "Oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. That which was most important to her life, that which she pleaded and pleaded and pleaded with God for, she gave back to him. And she said that when she was begging God for the child. "God, if you will grant this, if you will give me this child, then for as long as he lives, I will give him to you." Have you ever prayed for anything and said, "God, if you grant this prayer, if you do this, then I will take this blessing, I will take what you give me, and I'm going to give it all right back to you"? Ever pray like that? It is important for us, I think, to see that Hannah gave to the Lord that which was of most importance to her. That was the very best of her. That what she felt God had blessed her with the greatest. What's God blessed you with? What is the greatest blessing he's giving you today? Thinking about returning that blessing to him, using it for his glory and his glory only? Are we doing like the book of Judges talks about? Doing that which seems right to us. Honoring self, you see, involves keeping back the very best for our own pleasure. Look at chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. Now, before I start here, I'm going to remind you that Eli is the high priest at this time, and that these sons that are being talked about are of the priestly order. Now, remember that. Now, the sons of Eli, this is how God starts out talking about them. Now, the sons of Eli were worthless men. Remember, they're leaders in the temple. And they did not know the Lord. The custom of the priest with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant would come while the meat was boiling, with a three-pronged fork in his hand, and he would thrust it into the pan or the kettle or the cauldron or the pot, and all that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This was what they did at Shiloh. This was the custom where they were. Remember, we've already seen that this was at Shiloh where Hannah was praying. This was the custom where they were. All that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This is what they did at Shiloh to all of the Israelites who came there. Moreover, before the fat was burned, the priest's servants would come and say to the man who was sacrificed, "Give me the meat from you, but only raw." Eli's sons would come and say, "Give me the meat for the sacrifice, but I want the raw part, the whole thing." And if a man said to him, "Let them burn the fat first and then take as much as you wish," he would say, "No, you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force." Thus the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord, for the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. That which should have been God's, they abused and they took for themselves and for their own desires and in their own way. The word of God says that Eli's sons were, I love it, worthless men. But if you read through that thing, you'll find they didn't think so. Apparently, they thought they were men of great worth. How do I know they thought they were men of great worth? Well, they thought it was more important for them to get that which was offered to God than for God to receive it. They were more special than God. They should receive more than what God says. Keeping back the best for themselves instead of giving it to God. That's what honoring man says. Honoring men says. Honoring self says. Again, we can say that honoring God means that I must keep Him as the one that I please. Wow. Honoring God means that I must keep Him as the one that I please. 1 Samuel 1:28, the last part of it says, "And he worshiped the Lord there." His mother brought him, gave him as a sacrifice unto God. And it says, "And he worshiped the Lord there." 1 Samuel 2:11 says, "And the boy was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli the priest." Samuel was about the business of honoring God. He was about the business of serving God. He was about the business of pleasing God. His focus was continually and entirely on the will of God and on the honor of God. That doesn't mean Samuel didn't do anything else, but it meant that in everything he did it as unto the Lord God. Paul talks about that later on. So Samuel understood that honoring God means that he must be the one that I please. Others and the sons of Eli saw that it wasn't important to honor God. So they were more involved in honoring self, which means I'm going to keep self as the one I please. It's all about me. Eli's sons were focused on themselves. Didn't matter what God had ordained. Didn't matter what the Word of God said. Didn't matter what the teachings of the church were. They were about focused and pleasing themselves. We're also going to see here, though, that Eli, who at the time was the high priest, was also focused on his sons. And in essence, by being focused on his sons, he was focused on himself. Hear what God said to Eli. Now, get this picture. Samuel's the one that's speaking these words. The boy's servant is telling the high priest what God said. 1 Samuel 2:29. When then do you scorn my sacrifices and my offerings that I commanded for my dwelling? And honor your sons above me by fattening yourselves on the choicest parts of every offering of my people Israel. Rephrase that. Where do you get off taking for yourself that which I have ordained is mine? Says the Lord. Wow. Now, as we move on, we find that honoring God also involves accepting the challenges of life. So Samuel had told Eli that God had been speaking to him and God had given him a message. And Eli had spoken to Samuel and told him, says, I want you to tell me every word that God has said to you. And I do not want you to leave out a single word. And so 1 Samuel 3:18 says, so Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Put yourself in his place. Young servant in the temple, in the tabernacle, standing before the high priest. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Eli's response was, okay, so that's God. Let him do what he thinks he's got to do. You do what you think you have to. This was coming from the high priest. What contempt. What dishonor. You see, we can see that there is a major difference in what life looks like when we honor God rather than honor ourselves. But what does honor really mean, guys? In the Old Testament, well, even in the New Testament, the word honor can be used as either a noun or a verb. And in this context, it's used as a verb. Remember the text that we started out with in Samuel 2:30, 1 Samuel 2:30. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord declares for me, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. There's an action involved here. There's something that's going on here. Those that do this thing, then I will pay attention to, I will esteem rightly. The verb form of honor means to give weight to, or to pay attention to, or to see that this thing has worth for our lives. So what it means in this context is that the Word of God, those things that God says, should have an impact on our life and has worth for our life, and we should pay attention to those things. In order for us to honor God, there must be an action on our part. We have to do something. And that something, in this case, is to live within what the Word of God teaches us. This crowd will remember. I couldn't use this illustration in a lot of crowds today, but this crowd will remember. Back in the 70s and 80s, if you turned on the television in the evening and watched it very long, you were likely to hear a commercial that said, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. And the point was that in the investment world, this particular broker would give solid advice and you should pay attention to what he was saying. Well, that's what honoring God means in this particular context. The idea of honoring God is that when God speaks, I listen. And not only do I listen, but as I listen, I respond appropriately to what God is saying. You see? It's one thing to listen, yet it's quite another to respond appropriately to what God is saying. Because Samuel valued the wisdom of God, and because he valued the way of God, because he valued the very words of God, then the scripture tells us that God honored him. What's our four-word phrase that we're thinking about? I will honor God. God says, and we just read it, when we honor him, he honors us. By his presence, his power, his protection, his redemption. And he says, those that do not honor me, I will esteem lightly. I'll give you a Leonism for that. I won't give a flip about. Now, not that he won't love them and don't care for them, but they're on their own, basically. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the time to share in your word. Thank you for the challenge to our hearts that you speak through your word. Use us this week as we go out from this place. Help us to honor you. Give us opportunities as you speak to our hearts to honor you, not only in what we say, but in what we do and how we live. May we honor you before the community that we live in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.